This is Chrissy Annie, DNA Knockout.
This is Lacey Von Eric.
I'm Al Snow.
This is Harry Smith.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
Everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
Hail to the King, baby.
You will bow to me, Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will,
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
Everybody knows I'm perfect in every way.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, it is the be-all, end-all of the Network Omega, bringing you the best in wrestling radio today. And this is the part of the show where everyone gets to find out who the hell is actually here this week. Oh, I look forward to this as a regular segment every episode now. Okay, let's see here. Do we have Will? No, we do not. Do we have Mace?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
One for two. Do we have Spug? Okay, we officially do not qualify for the new car, but I am also here, and we also have, is he here? Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is your host, Tim Stein, talking like he's an actual radio guy for some reason. Tell them what they've won, Omega.
You have won another edition where we don't know where the hell Spug is.
We should turn that into some kind of a game. Where the hell is Spug? Or let's call it, where the fuck is Spug?
Absolutely. We give away some of his shit.
Yeah, WTF is Spug. And we'll give him dates with his wife.
Oh.
Confirm something for me. Are we on WTR and not OTL? Because he does the same thing.
Oh, he does this on OTL too?
Yeah. Usually it's just me and Mace now. I gotta add him to the opening eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
Absolutely interesting. Well, guys, we've got a few things that we want to talk tonight. We're also debuting something that we hope we're going to turn into a regular feature here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, especially Wrestle Talk Radio.
Interesting. I've heard nothing of this.
No, this is something that literally was cooked up 2 hours ago, and I'm not kidding when I say literally cooked up 2 hours ago. Something that I've been playing around with in the back of my mind for a different show that we do here on Wild Talk Radio Network, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, I'll maybe still do it for that show, but it might be interesting to do it for this one, too. What am I talking about? You'll have to stick around.
Are tits involved?
Find out. Well, that depends on what your definition of tits are. Let's just put it that way.
And Mason's internet is crapped out for the first time tonight.
Okay, so the running total, you know what, we need one of those little drum solos. The running total so far, we're at one. We should do one. This like it was a like a fundraiser, like Jerry Lewis Telethon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's the total now, Omega?
We are at one. One drop tonight.
It'd
be like a WTR drinking game. You take a shot every time Mace drops.
Oh, boy, I don't think I have that much booze.
Yeah, you're making a shit yourself, and you still don't have enough.
There you go. Yeah, I make a shitload of yeah, exactly. Now, that might be copyright infringement because they do that in CB Radio. Speaking of which, we are now joined by one of the co-hosts for CB Radio, who is also a co-host for Rust Talk Radio. Will is here, so that bat becomes a ding, ding, ding.
Yay.
Hi, Will.
Hey. Hi.
Missed you.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, well, we're improving our aim. Speaking about improving, your sound quality is absolutely incredible tonight. What exactly are you using to talk on?
We found a microphone for the laptop. Problem is, it won't fit in my ear, so I have to hold it. So I have no idea how annoying it'll be when I move it every 5 seconds.
Well, I suppose we'll find out. Can't be any worse than a certain individual who does recordings for us sounds when he moves his mic right in the middle of making a recording. Not that I'm taking a shot at, you know, mic or anything like that, but, you know, shit happens.
No, we can't all be professionals.
Okay, that Will just did something with his mic, and it wasn't as bad as that other guy. So I think we could probably deal with it.
Mm-hmm. That, at worst, if it gets too annoying, just duct tape it to something.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can, like, hook it to my shirt, but I don't think I can.
Well, do you have duct tape?
No, shit.
You know, that's terrible.
You should electrical have tape somewhere.
Okay, just tape it to the side of your head.
There you go. You should always have duct tape handy. You should always have duct tape around because, let's face it, if the windmen don't find you handsome, they should at least find you handy. And duct tape is the cure for everything.
Yeah, duct tape will save your life one day.
One day. One day it definitely can. Absolutely. And who knows, maybe someday you might want to rob a 7-Eleven. Duct tape comes in handy for that, too.
God. Remember the idiot tried to wear a mask into 7-Eleven as with duct tape?
He made it.
Duct tape mask sticky side down.
Okay,
so that made getting his mugshot real fun.
Yeah, especially when he peels his face off. Boy, that's fun.
Well, the advantage is that you can't be ID'd afterwards because, you know, half of your face is taken off with it.
Yee. Ouch. Very painful, completely, absolutely. I don't know why I'm talking like this, I just felt like doing so. So, guys!
Okay, I need a Slurpee, right now.
Oh, no, you cannot have a squishy. That is very bad, you'll have a brain cramp.
See, Spug's not here and someone has to be racist, I apologize.
Well, there you go. Not racist, it's doing an accent. Why is doing an accent considered racism?
I was referring to the Slurpee thing I did.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did that.
Horribly
sure.
Offensive.
Sure. I get it. So tonight we're going to be talking about Hulk Hogan and TNA and what's going on with that. And, of course, in the second segment, we're going to be spending time talking about the late, great Eddie Favre, too. Got a bunch of stuff to talk about there. It's an absolute shame that we got to do another one of these things. But it's just getting to be almost old, you know, like routine. Over the last 10 years, I have lost count how many shows we've had to do talking about losing somebody while they're still in their prime. Gone way too soon. Also tonight, we've got the great debate. This time, Bret Hart versus Eddie Guerrero in the first match. That's going to be a tight one. Honky Tonk Man taking on Edge in the second match. That's the great debate in search of WTR's greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Make sure you stick around for that. The Table, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view preview for the WWE. We got that coming up. And, of course, rapid fire. But not only that, the debut of a new thing that is going to be a weekly occurrence here on Wrestle Talk Radio. Like I said, I'm just saying this for the benefit of Will, who didn't hear it, and I don't know if we had lost Mace before I said anything or not. But it's, you know, a regular thing that Rock and I decided might actually work on this show. And we're debuting, I guess what you could call it, a teaser a little bit later on tonight. And we cooked up this idea literally 2 hours and 15 minutes ago. So this is huge. It's a debut. It's a worldwide exclusive right here on Wrestle Talk Radio. Make sure you stick around. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be coming up pretty quick. But why don't we kick things off and have a little chat about Hulk Hogan announcing at what was the thing going on last night? The MMA show.
Ultimate Fighter.
The Ultimate Fighter. He was was talking with Joe Rogan on the Ultimate Fighter last night, and made the announcement official. In attendance along with him were Dexy Carter and I do believe Eric Bischoff, taking in the MMA spectacle. TNA Wrestling, January 4th, 2010, mark it on your calendar, circle it. If you haven't heard, you've been living under a rock or quite possibly in Miami, Florida, TNA goes live with a three-hour special head-to-head against Vince McMahon's WWE Raw.
This is going to go so horribly.
You think so?
I pretty much know so. Last time they tried to do anything against WWE, it usually turned out to be an extraordinarily bad occurrence.
Well, I don't know. They went head-to-head with ECW. ECW's ratings were the lowest they'd ever been, where TNA's ratings lost anything.
Okay. There's a little difference between going against ECW and Raw. A slight variation in ratings difference.
Yeah, like a Triple H level difference.
Well, and did you guys...
That episode of Raw during that Thursday when they preempted it on the Monday before for some dog show or something?
That isn't them in their normal spot. That is an adulterated episode of Raw.
No, but it shows what the hell will happen.
Oh yeah, TNA tanked that night.
You know, really,
that just sounded like a setup to a bad Family Guy sketch.
You know, you got problems when your ratings tank in favor of a dog show.
This is true. This is true.
But did you guys catch the video of this happening last night?
Of course I didn't, because we don't see that crap here.
Ah, well, that's too bad that you didn't see that crap. What about you, Omega? Did you see it?
Unfortunately, no.
Will, did you get a chance to catch it?
Yes, YouTube.
Okay, there you go. He said one word, or is that two? How do you spell YouTube? Anyway, that's an inside joke that probably only I get, and maybe one other person. Why don't we roll the video of what happened last night? Take a look at your Ustream players, everybody, and watch this.
All right, it is my honor to be here with one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, sports and entertainment, huge personality, the one and only Hulk Hogan. Welcome aboard, sir. How are you?
Thank you, my brother. You know, to be here with Joe Mania, Dana White, it doesn't get any better than this, brother. These guys are going to war out here. It's unbelievable.
Now, you've been in some MMA fights before. Are you a UFC fan?
Oh, I'm a huge fan, my brother. I sure am.
Now, I understand that you have recently announced a partnership with TNA Wrestling and its president, Dixie Carter, and you're going to be moving to Spike TV. We're going to see some Hulkamania on Spike TV. Tell us more about that.
Well, you know, brother, tonight I got a ton of energy, and I'm partners with Spike, I'm partners with Dixie Carter, I'm partners with TNA, and we just got the green light, brother, on January 4th, TNA Impact. We're going wide open. We're going head on head. We're going to battle with a WWE Monday night. January 4th, Hulk Hogan and TNA, we're coming after everybody. We're coming after everybody.
Now, I understand that you recently released a book. You've done a wrestling tour in Australia. When are we going to see Hulk Hogan wrestle in TNA?
Well, brother, I'm going January 4th, like I said, Monday night. We're going to war, TNA Impact, but you never know. I'm going over there to take over. The Maniacs are coming. All the TNA stars are going to be there. And you never know when the old man with the yellow boots might just step in that ring, brother.
Hulk Hogan is coming back, ladies and gentlemen. TNA Wrestling, live on Spike TV. Hulk's here for the fights. You know you want to watch him on TV.
What you going to do, brother, when the UFC runs wild on you?
What are you going to do? That's a good question. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, brother. Well, there you go, brother. TNA is coming to Monday, brother, and we're going after everybody, brother. So, brother, what do you think, brother? Brother.
Geez, you know, Hulk Hogan carrying on with his brother, that's almost like that joke with the young guy saying dude, and they have a complete conversation with just one word.
Dude.
Now, imagine that as Hulk Hogan, okay, and
brother. Oh, brother.
Have we beat a dead horse yet?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Wolf. So, what do you think? Is Hulk Hogan, he's making his debut for TNA on January 4th. We're going to see him wrestle in that ring?
No.
I pray not.
But no, tonight we'll get chair shotted.
We'll get him coming out and posing his little arm pose on the ramp, and then the show will be over.
I'm kind of leaning towards what May said with a little bit, throwing a little bit of will with that one. We'll see him do the pose and then get a chair shot to set it up for him to actually be on a pay-per-view match wrestling.
Yeah, because, you know, nothing can be worse than Bobby Lashley's big debut of walking out onto the stage and pointing.
Yes, it could be. It could be watching Hulk Hogan actually wrestle again.
Didn't he, like, not come back for, like, 3 months after that?
Something like that, I think. I'm not sure. But, you know, anyway. Ever since he joined TNA, Hulk Hogan has been name-dropping, like, some kind of gossip columnist in Hollywood. Who do you guys see that might wind up coming along with him?
No one in their right mind. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to quote Kevin Nash from, I think it was now 2 weeks ago. If he brings in Brian Knobbs, I quit.
Oh, no. his personal lap boy.
There you go. So he's mentioned names like RVD, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who else has he talked about? Jeff Hardy, I think. Maybe not.
I think the Jeff Hardy ship sailed.
No, I think the Jeff Hardy ship burnt down because he ran out of things to smoke.
The meth caught on fire.
Ooh.
Naughty. You guys, you're terrible. So you don't see anything.
He's going to court over it. We can make all the fun we want.
All right,
nothing
fine.
Says potential employment, like a pending court hearing.
maybe in the NFL.
In the WWE, they call that a gimmick.
Exactly. Oh, God, just give me Nathan Jones flashbacks. God damn it.
Hey, Nathan, we're going to let you team up with The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Okay, not really. Aww.
Aww. That's just mean. That's all. Absolutely mean. So you guys have absolutely no thoughts about who might show up with Hogan, you know, with all of it name dropping and stuff.
I'm personally scared. If he actually draws RVD, I'm going to have to watch Impact, and that frightens me.
Okay, there's
initially,
one name.
We all know it's going to be Bischoff.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, but Bischoff's already there. There's one name that I can think of that has made rumblings about still wrestling and stuff like that, and that's Ric Flair.
Woo!
You know, and as we're being reminded in production chat, you know, Nash keeps teasing that they're putting the band, in quotes, back together.
Yeah, I don't think you could get the old Unless he's talking like the old cast of the Ninja Turtle movie, no. He's not getting any of his old bands back together.
The cast of the people who sunk WCW.
Well, I'm not 100% sure on if Scott Hall's free, because I know in February he's coming down here to do a couple of shows. And draw all I know.
1,500 people?
With this type of show, I reckon they'll be lucky if they'll draw 100 people, because the promoter doesn't exactly know what he's doing. He's banking on the fact that he's got Scott Hall, Steve Corino, and Raven all on the same card.
Yeah, it is.
Sure, but Hall.
Yeah, it's Scott Hall. I mean, the guy's liable to drop out of a match at any time.
Yeah, well, considering it's like
usually because he's
18 odd hours to get to Australia, I could definitely see him dropping out.
Out of the plane?
Yeah, probably. Well,
where's the mini? Door's right here. Bathroom. All right.
Sad thing is, he'd probably land and get right back up. So inebriated, he can't even feel the pain anymore.
Oh, Scott, what have you done?
Oh, God, Rock just said that made me chuckle. I don't think you guys catch it. But here's a great idea. Why don't they get rid of that guy who thinks he can script shows and bring in somebody who actually can?
Ed Ferrara?
That's only two people that think they can script shows.
Do we really have to get on that every single time we talk to TNA?
Well, do we have much of when he kind of sort of like scripts all the shit that you see that's crap?
Well, this is a point.
That's the thing that pisses me off about TNA. They've got some of the best talent in the world in that little itty bitty promotion that they're wallowing. Let's face it, TNA is it's penny candy. And as long as Vince Russo has any say in any of the matches, any scripting or booking or anything like that, it's going to stay penny candy.
I do want to like TNA again. I really honestly do. But it just does so many things wrong. I can't bring myself to do it.
Well, TNA does have some good points.
I will say this. Actually, give me a second here. They're going up with WWE head to head. Fine. And see, apparently it's a 3-hour impact.
Yep.
So they're doing the WCW thing. They're starting an hour early.
Don't reach Nitro?
If they time it so that they've got a match like Joe and Daniels and AJ halfway done as soon as 9 o'clock hits, they might hang on to enough of WWE's crowd, but they're going to have to go all out for the entire 3 hours, and I don't know if they're capable of that.
They've got me. Does that count?
You're not all out.
Oh.
You're only watching TNA that night because you boycotted Raw.
I'd watch it anyways because Hogan is way more interesting than Cena. I want to see how long his fucking hair extensions get.
There's a quote. There you go.
That's definitely clippable right there. I was waiting. I was wondering when Will would say something about Hogan over Cena.
Wow. That's amazing.
So WWE has already announced they're going to counter that with a 3-hour show of their own. Who's going to guest host this one?
Is there any doubt that they're going to go all out and try and get The Rock?
Well, it has already been.
Oh, man. That
was. Yeah, they want to totally decimate TNA. That'd be the way to do it.
Well, it's already been talked about. Rock coming in to guest host an episode of Raw, and it was also kind of talked about once or twice in a couple of different places, that they were looking for January. And if it was the middle or the end of January, why not step that up and put them there on the 4th if they can talk them into it?
Give them an extra $500 million.
Yeah, I could definitely see Vince opening the checkbook a lot than usual for this one.
For what you'd have to pay The Rock to get him to come in earlier than he planned, he might as well just buy TNA. It's probably just as much.
Well, you know, that probably
might. Yeah, but Vince doesn't work like that, remember? He likes to decimate the opposition, then buy them for a tenth of what they're originally worth.
And
what
do you then think decimate they're... them again.
Exactly.
Why do you think Hogan is in TNA to begin with? It's all part of my grand plan. I'm Vince McMahon. Damn it.
I thought I was the one that led that conspiracy theory.
Okay, Jesse.
Truth is that. A little bit of a half-obscure reference. That was like a grenade jug. Toss it out there 8 seconds later, people would get it. Well, but smart business decision to go ahead with WWE Raw? Fuck no. But they are going to replay the three-hour special in the regular Impact time slot with another, you know, an extra hour. Think about this. Think about this.
Yes.
WWE normally starts at 9 o'clock Eastern. TNA is going to start their three-hour show at 8 o'clock Eastern. Whenever WWE adds an hour, they add it to the end of the show. WWE going to go directly head-to-head-to-head? Or let TNA have that first hour?
Vince's ego will not allow him to let them get the jump on him.
Yeah.
He doesn't want a repeat of the Monday Night Wars.
Yeah, because that's the only thing that kept WCW over WWE for so long. It's because, you know, they had the hour jump.
Now, my next question, would it have been smarter for TNA to maybe go after SmackDown with a live program versus a recorded one?
Yeah.
Let's face it, stop and think about it. Everybody knows that the spoilers for SmackDown are posted, like, Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever. Impact going live on Friday up against something that you can read about. Wouldn't that make more sense for TNA than to take on the flagship show?
See, that would make sense, except we're dealing with TNA. They think somehow that hooking Hulk Hogan will give them the power, the staying power, against WWE. And that's nothing but ego and stupidity, and it's going to smack them right in the fucking face.
Well, do you think that Hulk Hogan's ego is going to blind the powers that be and make them see stars as opposed to reality?
Quite possibly.
The words fuck and yes come to mind. Hulk Hogan owns and invented wrestling, brother.
No, there's another angle to this though. You're gonna run what an episode of Impact on Thursday, and then immediately rerun another one on Friday. One of the appeals and draws to wrestling is that there's only so many times you can see it. You know, it's not a normal show where you can tune in any time and, you know, catch like 8 episodes inside of a week.
Yeah.
So I think you potentially burn out the audience going from a 2-hour show on Thursday to a 3-hour show on Friday.
Well, let me just kind of sort of think about that. So, yeah, you're right. Now, that being said, is it really, yeah, we've pretty much got the consensus. It's not the smartest fucking thing that they can do to go up against Raw, but at the same time, it's pretty goddamn smart. You'll have people who have never watched TNA before in their entire lives. They'll channel surf. And out of 1,000 people channel surfing, maybe they get one person sticking around because they've hooked that one person. Now, how many people are watching Raw? You get like 5 million a week, right?
Roughly. Ratings are usually in the high 3s, so that I think with a letter that actually does equate to about 5.
Okay, so we'll say roughly 5 million. Now, how many times does 1,000 go into 5 million? a fuck of a lot, right? So there's a chance that TNA might increase their viewership by a couple hundred thousand. Now, there are going to be some people who won't turn the channel to Spike on Monday night, and they'll stick with Raw. But some of them wind up tuning into the replay on Thursday night.
Right. Also, and also, you've got people. You also have a call in. People going, dude, I just watched this other show instead of Raw, and it was like, okay, they did this and this, and Hulk Hogan was there, and it's oh, dude, I wish I saw it. It's going to be on Thursday. Go watch it then.
There you go. Exactly. So, yeah, on the surface, it doesn't seem like the brightest of moves. This is a one-time deal. They go back to the regular time slot. It's an experiment. And if they can bump their ratings up from that 1.1 that they seem to be stuck with, even by 1 point, is it worth it?
I think anything would actually be worth it. I mean, they need to do something. And at least this is an honest-to-God effort, and while it's going to, I still think this is going to go horribly, but, you know, anything they can do to drum up the rating. And this actually does work out better for them, because it's not like they're moving the show to Monday night where the audience is going to completely tank permanently. This way, even if people do turn in, like even during commercials for Raw, to see what TNA is doing, they're going to lure a few people over to Thursday, and because they're not running up against anybody, the people just might stick around.
Yeah, I'm pretty much agreeing with Omega there. My own personal thought is if they're able to get, hell, 10% of the audience from Raw to tune into that Impact, even if it is during the commercials, then I'd classify that as a success for TNA, because they're actually trying something different.
So, is TNA right now, are they guilty of thinking outside the box by going head-to-head?
No.
It's a very aggressive move.
That's what everyone who starts up a Fed that goes somewhere does.
You want to elaborate on that, Will?
WCW.
Okay.
That's what they wanted to do. Vince McMahon was slowly turning wrestling into his own personal juggernaut. You had NWA, WCW in the South, which had its own steam, and they figured, well, we'll go take these guys on, and we'll get their audience, and we'll make money, and we'll do great, we'll last forever, which, you know, didn't work, but that's just the normal thing you do when you're getting into somewhere. When you're getting into any field, the thing to do is find the big guy and go for him, which is what TNA is finally getting the chance to do with the acquisition of Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Omega, thoughts and opinions?
I think I'm pretty much done.
Okay. Mace.
Look in my teeth.
Yeah, pretty much done. If they can get 10% of that audience, I consider it a win.
Well, okay. Something they have to do January 4th when they do that show is they have to bring their best to the table. Because if they're looking to keep people when they get them, they got to give them something they want to keep going back to. When I first saw TNA, I got hooked, or the reason I got interested was I seen the coolest thing I had ever seen in a wrestling ring, and that was a flip pile driver. Just that fire. That one move, yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is if they can get something like that to hook, you know, something that people don't see routinely in the WWE.
Things that they still do in TNA that WWE says, maybe don't do that so much because of it being so quote-unquote dangerous.
Right. Like, I don't know. I know Ultimate X's are done to death, but you don't see them in the WWE. If you've got someone who's never seen TNA, they see this Ultimate X structure and they see what these X Division guys are doing, they're going to say, hey, that's pretty cool. I might want to watch that.
Well, you have an absolutely excellent point. One of the things I love about TNA are all of the Ultimate X matches. I try not to miss an Ultimate X match whenever it's on. what are the chances that TNA is going to be smart enough to do something like that, or are they going to be stupid enough to say, hey, Hulk, what should we do?
Oh, we should put all of these guys on because they're my friends.
Let's face it, something's going to happen like that, right?
So I reckon they need to keep the backstage promos and over fucking story bullshit to a minimum and put on a solid 3-hour show of wrestling.
Right.
Showcase what the guys are capable of, because that's how you're going to hook the audience.
Yeah, they definitely need, for even if it's just one night, if they're going to hook somebody, they need to drop Russo's Crash TV.
Mm-hmm. Because the last thing you need is, like, Lauren backstage interviewing Dr. Stevie about his latest plan to destroy Abyss. Instead, you throw out Dr. Stevie and Raven against Abyss and have Abyss absolutely destroy them. You know,
yeah.
You throw... Make some your stories in the ring.
Some kind of a squash match or extended?
I'd say probably extended.
You don't want anything over too quickly. You want to showcase the best of TNA when you're going up against WWE in this situation.
Yeah.
Correct?
And if they're not putting, like, Daniel, AJ, Joe up in, like, the main event of the evening, just either before or after Hulk Hogan's appearance, they're going to be fucking stupid.
Well, now, here's the thing, and I brought it up once. So here's a legitimate question for all of you. Take your turns, take your turn answering and take your time answering it. Do you think that all of the bigger people in TNA, and I'm not talking physically, but all of the bigger names and the guys with the bigger pull, are going to be able to put their bigger egos in the backseat and do not what's best for them and each other, but for the promotion?
If you had asked me that a month ago, I would probably have said absolutely not. But since then, we have had, I would like to give Kurt Angle a little credit working with the younger talent now. And I would give more credit to Kevin Nash than I would a month ago because of the Saban incident. Those two at least show signs that they respect the overall more than themselves. But at the same time, you get Hogan in there, and I'm really not sure what Hogan is planning, what's in his head, and honestly, that's going to be the big ego that everyone's going to have to not only get out of the way of, but also bump their own up in order to get any attention with him around.
Mm-hmm. Will?
I agree with Omega in that a month ago it would have been a no, but from what it seems like recently is they're actually actively trying to push a lot of the TNA bred guys that they have that they've not done for so long. And it'll come down to, I imagine it'll come down to the guys who really have been there in TNA, butting heads with Hogan's guys. Because you know Hogan's going to want to put himself out there on top. It's Hogan. That's what he does.
Okay.
But, I don't know. They've got, a little under a month, so it'll be interesting to see the way things develop as it gets closer to Hogan's debut.
Well, now, I'd like to hear a little bit from Mace before I talk about Hogan in TNA doing anything. So what's your thoughts and opinions on that, Mace?
In the long term, I can see with Hogan wanting to be the top guy and everything, the ego is starting to develop. But at this point in time, and especially leading up to and including this upcoming special, they're going to be pushing the newer guys. They're going to be pushing their homebred talent a lot more to the forefront to get people hooked and into into the product like they have done very rarely. Like Omega said, once Hogan comes in with his ego, of course all his mates are going to bump their ego up because now they can stand behind the guy with power and say, hey, Hulk, can you do this so I can do this and da-da-da. But for the moment, I can see them keep going with the newer talent.
Hmm. Now, getting back to Hogan, don't expect to see him wrestling on January 4th. Do any of you guys expect to see him actually in the ring doing anything?
No.
No.
Even if he gets in the ring, has the tights on, they play the music, and they give him an opponent, I don't expect to see him wrestle.
They're going to save any Hogan in-ring action until at least his first pay-per-view appearance. And even then, they'll probably draw it out for a while.
Yeah. Even then, they're going to work on the most precise opponent for him.
Well, you know he's going to wrestle. There's no way you're going to sign a name like Hogan, who can't retire because he just can't stop wrestling, mainly because, you know, he needs money, and not expect him to never get into the tights again.
See, I would have liked to have seen Hogan be the big drawing point of this Black Machismo Legends challenge that they started and then dropped way too quickly.
Yeah, that did kind of...
But the only problem is that means they'd actually have to make Machismo look like a viable challenger for Hogan, which we all know he's not.
Well, yeah, but I was going to say, if it wasn't for the realm of wrestling, we both know Machismo would actually kick Hogan's ass, but...
True.
You can't job out your big multi-million dollar name the moment you get him.
Are you sure about that?
Hogan, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you can't really job out Hogan.
Yeah, it's Hogan. Maybe another name, but you know Hogan somewhere in his contract has something to where he says, nope, I'm not jobbing to that guy.
Even if
especially if it's Black Machismo, because it's like, he reminds me too much of Randy Savage.
So what if it's HBK?
Like I was going to say, even if your name is Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, and you saw the selling job he did for that one.
That is the best Michaels match I had ever seen.
Michaels had his jumping beans that day, I tell you what.
I've never seen someone pop up like a fucking punch me clown off the big boot.
The thing I enjoyed about the Hogan Michaels match at that pay-per-view was the following Monday with the promo that Michaels. That was the best part of the match.
Best part of the match came the night after.
So that should tell you something about this.
Yeah.
What happened? He stood in the ring and he talked. That was the best part of a match? Yeah.
Barry Hogan. Oh, it was beautiful.
Oh, fuck, yeah. Let me tell you something. When I was laying there and seeing that big boot come down, I knew it was over.
Yeah, right. Sure it was.
So, there it is. TNA debuting a Monday Night Live show. You know, kind of a misnomer when they call it a debut. It's a live 3-hour special to go head to head with WWE. Basically, that's what it is. So, I know exactly
TNA Nitro Impact, brother.
There you go. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing that night. I will start off by checking out TNA, and if it hooks me, then I'll stay watching. I can do that and still not miss Raw because that's the beauty of the Canadian sports channel that airs Raw. They do a replay right after Raw is finished. So I won't miss either one. And it's going to be just like the Halcyon days of I get to watch both Nitro and Raw and not miss anything from either one of them because they aired on the same network, so they were showing back-to-back. It was like 5 hours of wrestling. Monday night, man. So
it's a good thing about Australia. We get Raw on Wednesdays, Impact on Saturdays.
Is there some irony here that for as much as WWE's done in the last decade to recapture the Attitude Era, it's something that TNA does that makes it feel more like that than ever?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
There you go. All right, so
we feel alive as wrestling fans again.
There you go. So that's
been many years.
That's what I'll be doing that Monday. I'm going to assume that Will is going to watch Impact Live.
Yep.
And I'm going to assume mainly because of John Cena.
Yep. Well, I'm interested in TNA because they actually seem to be getting slightly better. They're slowly putting the young guys over, and it's slowly looking like something I can actually enjoy. But mainly because I hate John Cena.
Mainly because...
So I got a quick question for everybody. Which John Cena-based main event do you reckon will be on Raw that night?
The one where he hulks up against Legacy, or the one where he hulks up against DX, or the one where he hulks up against MVP, and...
The one where everyone else loses.
There's going to be the irony. You watch, they do have a Hogan match on the three-hour TNA Impact. You flip between the two channels, and Cena and Hogan are having the exact same match.
At the exact same time.
Yes.
Yeah. With, holy shit, those, look, he did the leg drop off the top. Oh, there goes Hogan. Oh, there goes his hip.
I tell you. Well,
Cena wrestles, we all job.
Omega, what are you going to watch that night?
Monday Night Football.
No, you won't.
you're right. I won't. Absolutely will not. I'll probably watch Raw because I'm not Canadian or Australian, so I don't have the advantage that you two have apparently. I will be watching it on Monday. I'll be watching Raw.
Omega, you have a computer screen, yes?
Oh, I know what you're saying, and yeah, maybe. But that
you
means
have
I
a
wait.
Computer screen.
I know what he's implying, but that means I'm going to waste hard drive space on TNA. No.
You can watch both at the same time. You just got to be a bit sneaky about it.
Okay.
he'll watch Raw. I'll watch TNA, and we'll exchange notes. When Cena and Hogan come on, we'll be like, "Are you ready for this? All right, let's watch the same match. Go."
Exactly.
Yeah, you just see the in the gorilla position in the back. Okay, he's about to do this, so tell Hogan to do that.
And Hogan gets him up for the FU. Ah, there goes his back.
Oh, wait, no, we got something backwards.
Yeah, oh, wait. Cena and Hogan are both on the mat. This is totally wrong.
Hogan does Canadian Destroyer. What?
Oh, yeah.
There's
something to see pulled off. Hogan doing Canadian Destroyer.
I would shit my pants.
It wasn't a Canadian Destroyer. He just had a really bad back spasm.
Man.
You're so mean.
That's terrible. So, there it is, and why don't we move on and talk real quickly about ECW dying a rather quiet death, guys.
Finally.
Been dying a very quiet death for a while now.
Yeah, for the last, 3 years?
Before we move on, but January the 4th, 2010, you're going to be watching TNA live, or are you going to be watching WWE Raw live?
Wait, they're going up against each other?
You didn't know that because you paid attention, and for most of you who didn't have it figured out yet, Spud wasn't with us to start the show.
No, because I thought we went on at 11 tonight, so I got online. I'm like, oh, 10:45, I'm early, it'll be great. And then I flick on the website real quick, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm 45 minutes late, great.
Well, no pay-per-view, so we start at 10 Eastern, numbnuts.
Well, I thought there was, you know what, it's a bit weird that there's not a pay-per-view this week, okay?
The weird thing is that after TLC, WWE is going 7 weeks without a pay-per-view. So we're going to be doing a lot of 10 p.m. shows.
When?
Wait, What?
After TLC.
No. 7 weeks. When
did
TLC?
They're not doing anything. Yeah, they're not doing anything till the Rumble.
Really?
Uh-huh.
When's the Rumble?
It's usually like the last Sunday in January.
7 weeks with no pay-per-view.
Looking at...
This coming one will be January 31st, guys.
Yeah, it'll be the actual last Sunday in...
Yeah, TNA's got two in that span, but there'll still be at least 5 10 p.m. shows in that span.
Because traditionally, the Rumble is the week between the AFC and NFC Championship games and the Super Bowl. So...
So, what are you going to watch? Impact Live or Raw Live?
January 10th?
Yeah.
January
4th. Or 4th? Is there a Monday night game that night?
See, he would watch the Monday night football game instead.
Is there a Monday nighter that night? Maybe I'll watch that. Are the Pens on?
Yeah, Calgary plays Pittsburgh that night, so you and I will have to get online and watch the game together, and so I can laugh at you every time that Calgary scores on Pittsburgh, and we can watch Pittsburgh lose to the Flames.
Speaking of hockey, real quick, Tim, I was watching the game the other night, and I don't remember who it was.
Uh-huh.
But somebody went for a shot on goal. And the goalie went to lay out for it and laid out in the complete opposite direction of the shot.
Uh-huh. I have no idea.
I think it was an AHL game, so... I know it wasn't professional. It wasn't the NHL, because I, you know the uniform logos. But it was. I'm like, really, really, we're gonna lay out in the other direction of the shot.
Well, you know, you see, goaltenders do absolutely amazing things. And remind me about that after the show's over, Spuck. I have a link to give you an absolutely unbelievable save made by the Calgary Flames' Mika Kiprusoff in last night's game against San Jose Sharks. Your jaw will hit the floor. That being said, back to wrestling. So you'll watch whatever might be on.
I'll watch Calgary-Pittsburgh. I'll watch Calgary-Pittsburgh instead of Monday Night Raw or TNA because, quite frankly, TNA is not big enough right now to go up against WWE Raw live. Hogan, if Hogan's on the show, he's going to draw ratings, and that's the only reason they may be able to compete. But quite honestly, you're going to go up against the giant that is WWE when you're not prepared to do it yet.
Well, you know, that's the thing. Everybody's thinking that they are prepared to do it. So, but
they're not.
You know, the Hogan's debut is the reason they're doing it. And
yes, because that's a smart decision. Because Vince isn't going to see that and go, you know what, I'm going to trump that.
Well, Vince is already working on trumping that, and we talked about that while you were too busy thinking the show was going to start late. He's going to counter with a three-hour Raw on his own. And speculation is we might see The Rock finally guest host.
Yeah, because if you have The Rock, let's just say this. If for some reason The Rock happens to be there, and maybe Stone Cold happens to be there, just hear me out on that. For whatever reason, Vince pulls rabbits out of his hat, and both of them happen to be there, TNA will get left in the dust on ratings.
Mm-hmm.
No matter if Hogan's there or not.
One way or the other, we're speculating that they're still going to draw fans to the product. You're going to be some people switching back and forth. One or two out of, like, every 10,000 might stick around and watch TNA. That being said, people who talk about the program, who watched the whole thing, will tell their buddies who watched Raw, and then their buddies will be able to tune into the replay on Thursday. So one way or another, no matter how much of a boondoggle, it's a win-win for TNA.
Did you say boondoggle?
I said boondoggle.
Okay.
I was about to say, speaking of channels, ECW's dying?
ECW what?
ECW's
in
going
name.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes, we were moving on to talk about that. Yeah, the death of ECW. In name only, guys, in name only. They're going to probably call it something else.
About time.
WWE.
Nothing a belt that doesn't suck.
What are they going to call it?
Wait a second. Who just said WWE Extreme?
Right here.
Omega.
You know what? That might not be such a lame suggestion.
That's a terrible suggestion.
Which is probably that's what WWE will go with.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it was not a lame suggestion to call it, but I'm thinking that it might not be a lame guess as to what they might call it.
If only so they don't have to change much of the merchandise or the belt.
Yep.
Okay, Vince is finally done raping the corpse of the original ECW, and now he's finally getting rid of the body.
Well, you can only engage in necrophilia so much until the decay starts to really smell bad.
No,
just ask Katie Vick.
Thanks for the impromptu how-to guide there, Tim.
I saw the Katie Vick episode. I'm still suffering from that.
Tips for dating a corpse, brought to you by Tim Stein.
Okay, put go on there because you're going to get in trouble in a minute.
Oh, you're going to get in trouble. Ooh.
Okay, that just means I'm the last one on this network to get in trouble.
Well, there are a few people here still who haven't gotten in trouble yet that, you know, we could put together a list. And, yeah, at least I don't have a dead wife that I was sleeping with. If you caught CB Radio last night, you'll know what I'm talking about. What?
I am glad I missed that.
What?
Okay, see, this is what happens when you guys miss the quality programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. CB Radio every Saturday.
Super Mario Brothers.
I was watching a charity drive, you fucker.
Every Saturday night, as close to midnight as they can fucking get to, CB Radio, Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. The story here is some guy in Vietnam missed his wife so bad that he would sleep on a grave when the authorities said, you can't do that anymore, cut it out. He dug a tunnel into where her body was, pulled the body out, and he covered her with, like, clay, put her on his bed, and left her there. And he'd have his son hug mom goodnight every night, and he'd sleep with his dead wife. Wow.
God.
That sounds like something you'd hear on an ICP album.
There is a song about that on an ICP album.
Pretty close to it, yeah.
It's on the Riddle Box.
Cemetery Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is just one example of one of the wacky stories you can hear on CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, every single Saturday night. Not necessarily every single night at midnight.
Midnight-ish,
exactly. So, you know, that being said, having a little bit of a problem with my computer here. Stupid.
We're going to get off the topic of necrophilia.
Anybody want to buy a computer? I'll sell it to you cheap. Anyway, that being said, we're getting pretty damn close. We've been on for just about almost an hour now. I think that we should take our first break. But as we go to break, we've got something brand spanking new. We're debuting here on the Wild Talk Radio Network on Russ Talk Radio. It's going to be a weekly thing. It is, well, Rock, why don't we just let it speak for itself?
Oh, no.
Like Batista on steroids, so are the days in the ring.
Running. That's how accidents happen.
Sorry, sir.
You see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, what is so important that you needed to break your arm to tell me?
TNA. J.
just announced they are going live on January 4th for 3 hours.
What are you talking about?
TNA just said.
Yes, I've heard you the first time. Now, I've got to go gather the truth. Good work.
Ziggler, sir. Dolph Ziggler.
Right. Well, good job. Now get up.
Ow.
What does this mean for the WWE and Mr. McMahon? How will things be handled? Tune in next week for Days in the Ring.
There it is, the debut.
What the fuck was that?
When did Stewie Slipin take over Vince McMahon?
That was the debut teaser of brand new soap opera happening right here on Wrestle Talk Radio, weekly episodes called Days in the Ring.
Okay. Now I know why you're out last week. It wasn't that. Okay, you broke a tooth, so your jaw hurt. I think a crack pipe blew up in your mouth.
I thought that was 2 weeks ago.
Everything about that was terrible, and I'm boycotting WTR until it's over.
Will, you can't boycott everything for crying out loud. No.
No. I'm agreeing with Will on that one. Will, I'm joining you, brother.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. We've got a lot more coming up here on Rust Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Make sure you don't go anywhere. We're going to have to be a little bit serious in the next segment. You all know what happened a couple of days ago. We're going to be talking about that. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is now on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You got some email?
Yeah, after watching Mark Sanchez scarf down a wiener on the sidelines, Jeff Garcia immediately demanded to be traded to the Jets.
You want the latest NFL news? You won't get it here. You want NFL stats and analysis? You won't get it here.
Skip Bayless talks to Chad Ochocinco week 8.
The Steelers and the Ravens will wind up better than you.
I've got you losing down the road here.
Losing what?
Baltimore? At Pittsburgh?
Chad, please.
Skip Bayless is like my crack.
If you want the best and funniest NFL podcast on the internet, join us for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8:30, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Bang!
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together. Membership is free and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VeoLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
In here wanting to tell you all about this brand new contest, specifically for this holiday season. Unlike other contests, this one you will actually be able to win. Sorry, Daddy. as I have teamed up with Sir Rockin to present the first annual Rockin' Cindy's Christmas Contest here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're kicking off our fun old-fashioned family Christmas by heading out into the country in the old front-wheel drive sleigh to embrace the frosty majesty of the winter landscape and select that most important of Christmas symbols.
This contest is fully interactive, which means we need all of you to get involved, as we are looking for the best singer of a Christmas carol.
Joy to the world.
So whether it's Let It Snow, Winter Wonderland, or something as simple as Jingle Bells.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. Da, da, da. Okay, I forgot the song, sorry.
It doesn't matter what it is, we want to hear you sing. We're also looking for pictures of your Christmas tree. One of the other contests is to see who has the prettiest tree.
What we're looking for today is the family Christmas tree.
If you're interested, join us on December 19th for a very special edition of CB Radio, where Rock and I will be holding the Rock and Cindy Christmas special. We will also be announcing the winners that same night. For complete contest details, check out the official website of the Wild Talk Radio Network, which is www.wildtalkradio.com. Help us spread some holiday cheer with Rockin' Cindy's Christmas Contest. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topic and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with sharp shoots. What a stop by Giffrasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better save. They score. Justin Boyd cutting the lead to two.
Jump into the play and you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager, Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Everybody, listen to me.
You're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Glad that you could join us. We are in the second segment of the show. Yeah, it's a little bit of a tough thing that we're going to have to talk about right now, guys. Eddie Fatu. Umaga found dead. Basically, for all intents and purposes, by his wife, rushed to the hospital where he supposedly suffered a second cardiac arrest, and the doctors couldn't revive him.
These don't get easier.
They never do, Omega. Do you have any thoughts or anything about this?
It's just one of those things that came so out of nowhere. I never heard of him being in ill health or having anything like this. Like, I'll be bluntly honest here. If it happened to MVP, who's had a history of heart problems, then okay, then this wouldn't take me back so much, but there's someone that was in his prime and still young and, you know, still as athletic as he had ever been. Just, you know, I was just stunned. It's just absolutely out of nowhere.
I couldn't believe it myself. I got a Google News alert, I think it was, and talked to Rock. And, you know, all of this stuff coming out at once makes it a pretty big week to talk about wrestling news and stuff like this. But you really don't want to have this kind of wrestling news that you have to talk about. Thing about it is, okay, so he apparently suffered a heart attack while he was sitting dozing in his chair at home. And then he apparently suffers another heart attack in the hospital and they're trying to revive him. Thing is, how many heart attack victims do you know? And this is where it gets really, really rough. How many heart attack victims do you know wind up with nosebleeds? It's possible.
None.
What'd you say, Spud? Well, it's possible. Is it? Yes, it's possible. I didn't say it was likely. I said it's possible. And what were you going to say, Omega?
I've only known one heart attack victim. It was my father, and he didn't have any kind of nosebleed or anything like that.
I have never known a heart attack victim to have a nosebleed.
I've never ever heard of it.
Never. It's possible. It's rare, but it's possible. Hold on. Go for it. My grandfather died of a heart attack, and his nose bled. That's why I say it's possible. Your body, when your heart seizes like that, your blood pressure will increase. Because your heart is squeezing and convulsing. So it's forcing blood into the veins to try and keep things alive. You can actually bleed out of your nose because you can rupture blood vessels. It can happen. I don't want to delve too much into this and make something that isn't there. Because if there isn't a history of drug abuse, if there isn't a history of steroids, if there isn't a history of addiction, then to sit there and try to make something that isn't is distasteful to the Fatu family, and it's distasteful to Omega's legacy as a wrestler.
Okay, but let's be honest about this. He did have two wellness violations, and he did refuse rehab treatment for it.
You know what, dude? Here's the thing. There was a baseball player this year who got popped for a wellness violation because he took the wrong protein bar.
I'm just reporting it, okay?
I get it, but here's the thing. Let's not sit there and go, he was on drugs! He died because of drugs! Because he had an unexplained nosebleed.
No, it's not just
that's
that.
Exactly what you guys are trying to infer, and
no,
that's bullshit.
No.
Okay, his ultimate release from WWE came after his second wellness test failure. He was offered rehab treatment, and he refused it. He refused to go to rehab, so they let him go. We are not inferring anything. We are not saying that he died because of drugs. We are just pointing out the likelihood, possibility of that is actually the fact.
That is inferring.
And I understand you want to wait until the autopsy to find out exactly before we say anything.
That's exactly what I want to do, because right now it's just a tragic event.
But it's
look at 2 years ago. Look at 2 years ago when Eddie Guerrero died in his hotel room and Chavo found him. The first thing that came out of everybody's mouth is, looks like he was doing drugs again and died of an OD. And that wasn't the case, was it?
But, well, indirectly it was. He died because of all of his years of abusing those drugs.
In the years past, but he was clean. When they did the autopsy, did they find any trace of drugs in his system?
At the time?
When
no.
they did the, when they did
well,
the autopsy.
No.
but he had been clean for a couple of years. Did the drug abuse lead to his weakened heart? Yes.
Yep.
Yes, it did. But he did not die of drug use.
Not directly. Indirectly, he did. The fact
indirectly, he did.
Or otherwise, drug abuse in his past was the cause of his death. It weakened his aortic wall.
Could Omega, or I mean, could Umaga have had a weakened heart because of previous drug use? Yes, he could have. But did it lead to his death? We won't know until the autopsy is completed. Just like the same thing with Eddie Guerrero.
Okay, here's the thing. Just like with Eddie Guerrero, can you name one wrestler that we have lost in the last 10 years before the age of 45, when after the autopsy was performed, no trace of substance abuse was found to have been a contributing factor?
Yes.
Who? Name one name.
Chris Cash, because he died in a motorcycle accident.
You know, you want to go to that? I could name Owen Hart for that, too. That's not what I'm talking about.
You didn't specify. You said name one wrestler who, after the autopsy. If we want to play that game, we can play that game.
Okay,
all I'm asking for is a little respect for the Fatu family, because they've done great things. They've done great things for the wrestling organization, and I happen to know Afa.
I'm not saying anything negative or anything like that against any member of the Inouye family, of which Fatu was a member. I'm just pointing out the facts as they are. Now, the implication is there. I did not state that, oh, look, he died because he was using drugs. I'm asking the possibility of that being the fact.
Is it a possibility? Sure. But I don't think we should get ahead of ourselves and start inferring or insinuating that it was drug use in any way, shape, or form, either be it past or present, until the autopsy is final. Is it a tragic death? Absolutely.
Here's
a tragic death that he is gone. But to sit there and insinuate and infer, because we have all these statistics and we have all this stuff of past drug use and wrestlers that are dead before the age of 40 because of it, I don't think is fair right now.
Well, here it is. Okay, I'm not inferring. Okay, now I'm not saying, oh, it was probably because it was drugs. It's a simple case of all of the wrestlers that did die, with the exceptions of guys like Owen Hart and Chris Cash and Chris Candido, who died of a blood clot moving from his broken leg into his brain after a plane flight he was advised not to take.
I thought he died on the operating table.
No, he died of a blood clot that moved into his brain from his broken leg. He took an airline flight he wasn't supposed to be taking.
Because, yeah, he showed up on impact just after his surgery, and he died like a few days later.
So, it was like Thursday, I think, that it happened. So, but, you know, that being said, when you take a look at all of these other wrestlers we've lost, it's hard to figure out where to actually put Chris Benoit in this as well, because of all of those steroids and other prescription medications that were found at his place, whether or not his blood was clean, it's kind of a telling fact right there.
You know, it just... There's so much death in this industry, in the business. You know, with the wellness policies of TNA and WWE, and they're trying to put a Band-Aid over a gaping wound. You know, you look at... just go look at some of the shoot interviews of the past. Go look at Roddy Piper. I've got a perfect one. Have any of you heard of the DVD that just came out called Bloodstained Memoirs?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Go watch that and watch the Piper interview. And Piper talks about how many times he went to the ring on meth and amphetamines and things of that nature, because they're wrestling four venues in four nights, and he hasn't slept in 28 hours. And as much as people hate Jesse Ventura,
just look at any Raven and Sandman shoot interview.
Exactly. And as much as people hate Jesse Ventura, he was on ESPN's First Take the other day, and he said something that is very, very right and very telling. They still refer to wrestlers as independent contractors, yet they have them under contract. Under contract. They can't go wrestle for TNA. They can't go wrestle for indie promotions. There is no union. They have no health or pension benefits. And these guys get more injuries than pro football players. Take Chris Benoit, for example. And you can't tell me that we can't get some sort of health insurance for these people? And we're going to put a wellness policy in place? It's a fucking joke. It's an absolute fucking joke.
Well, absolutely no argument with that one there. My point is, it's hard to take this tragedy and not look at it with out of the corner of your eye, just because of the everything else that's occurred, all the stuff that's going on. Not even in 10 years, just since 2006. All you got to do is go back 3.5 years. The number of people that have been lost to us. And the, if you will.
Go back farther than that, dude.
I know. I said you don't have to.
I know you don't have to.
Go back to 2006 and look at this. Now, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, and I don't want anybody tuned in listening to get the wrong idea. I'm not stating for any record that I think that he died because of this. I'm not implying that that's the reason. Or anything like that, either. It's a tragedy that will be made worse if that's the case. And right now, I really hope that's not the case. But at this point in time, after everything that's gone on, and everything that we've been subjected to, everything that we've witnessed, everything that we've heard about,
here's what I want to happen.
An eyebrow.
You can lift an eyebrow and be curious and be speculative. But here's what I want to happen. Much like there was in the wake of the Chris Benoit murders and massacre, with Chris Nowitzki leaving the WWE and going to help work with the head injury place. Institute. I want somebody who is in the business and has the voice and has the power to finally go, this isn't right. These people did not have to die. These wrestlers did not have to die because of selfish greed by promoters. That's what this is. It is selfish greed by promoters. You cannot sit there and tell me that being addicted to amphetamines and cocaine and alcohol and steroids and things like that, and then you're going to put them in a wellness policy and a wellness program and pay for their rehab, and when they get out, you're going to repackage them, and then you're going to go, oh, you're all better now, without offering them any type of continued medication or medical support? What is the one thing that they tell Alcoholics Anonymous members?
What is that?
Continue the 12 steps. It never ends.
Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic.
Always an alcoholic. Same with a steroid abuser. Same with a drug addict. Once you're an addict, you're always an addict. There is no cure for addiction.
Well, I want to move on to Mace here for just a quick sec. Of course, Fug is an independent wrestler in Ohio there. Mace is an independent wrestler down in Australia. And these are the two guys that I really wanted to talk to about this situation right off the hop. Mace, what is your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Spug pretty much has said everything that I could ever say about the subject, man. You know, if worldwide, we need a lot to change in the industry. And, yeah, I can't really say anything that Spug hasn't already said. I'm still searching my mind to try and find something. I'm coming up with nothing, brother.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to you in just a quick sec, because I've got a few questions for the both of you guys. Will Omega, as a wrestling fan, seriously, guys, starting with Will, how do you view the situation? How do you, what's in your, what runs through your minds about this?
I've been watching wrestling for longer than I can remember, and when you're a kid, there's a certain magic to it that, while it disappears as you get older, there's just, I don't know, from the outside, people look at it and they just see, you know, a bunch of old, overweight drug addicts who keep dying, when in reality, these are young men who should be in their prime. And just, the older you get, the more you learn about what the industry is like, thanks to things like the internet, and, you know, just every death, you know, just, they don't get any easier, they don't, you don't just sit there and go, oh, someone died, and for one, it should never be like that, but just the rapid occurrences of death in among pro wrestlers is absolutely astonishing. It's, I mean, you really can't put it into words that you see these guys go out there, and at first they do it for the love of the sport, then they get stuck into needing the money because of how much you have to put into the sport, and all the traveling, and having to stay up, and you do it for practically peanuts when you start out, and you just, I don't know, it's just,
I broke my tailbone and got a concussion all in the same match. I made $25 that night. That didn't even cover my admission to the emergency room. I had to lie to my insurance. I had to lie to my insurance that it wasn't, you know, that it wasn't wrestling, that I wasn't doing anything, you know, like that, so I would get covered. I remember changing my clothes from my gear to street clothes in my car on the way from the venue to the hospital. And this is the type of stuff that these guys have to deal with. Me, Mace, anybody in an independent locker room or a professional locker room. You go out there, you break bones, you get hurt. You know, and you come in the back and it's a pat on the back and we'll see you tomorrow. You know, on the professional level, not on the indie level, but, you know, to sit there, it has become to the point where it's, oh, it's just another death. How tragic. How sad. And we mourn for a couple of days and we move on. Because the wrestling fan base has let it become that. The idiots who plunked down $50 on a pay-per-view are the same idiots who sit there and think that, you know, it's all still fake. And I'm not talking about everybody in here. We're talking about everybody who listens, but you all know somebody. You all know somebody. You all know that it's still real to me, guy. You all know that guy, whether you want to admit it or not. And those are the types of idiots that our industry is pandering to. Still. Because why? They're the ones that are going to plunk down $175 on a crap cheap belt. They're the ones that are going to plunk down $30 on a t-shirt every time they come to the arena. Those are the types of people that are keeping the reforms that need to happen in this industry from happening.
Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the National Football League in the United States, was on Capitol Hill a month ago talking about the new collective bargaining agreement and measures that are being put into it to research and aid players, former players and continued players, with head injuries. You saw what happened with Ben Roethlisberger last week. He got forced to sit out a game because of a concussion. They take this shit seriously. Why can't wrestling, which has been around for 100-plus years, take it seriously?
Spug, it's like Vince McMahon.
Mace?
I think his internet died.
Oh, yeah, he's about to have a good point, too. But you look at this, and is it tragic? Yes. Should we mourn it? Yes. But we should be angry. I want somebody like a Triple H or a John Cena or a Hogan or somebody who has a voice and a respect in the locker room, or the Undertaker is perfect for that matter. Undertaker. When that man speaks, everybody in the back listens, and we all know that. I want somebody to speak up and finally go, this isn't right. And if Vince wants to try and quash it, fight him until he can't fight back. Because there's no reason that anybody should have to work under these conditions. Immigrant workers in the United States did it in the 20s and tried to form unions. West Virginia was the first state to try and start it. In the coal mines in the 50s and 60s. Well, they weren't the first ones to start unions, but they were. They took on the coal barons in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s. There was bloodshed and fights over it, and finally the reforms happened that needed to happen. Yet we sit here in the National Football League. The National Football League has hearings on Capitol Hill about, you know, their newest collective bargaining agreement. Yet we can't get the Capitol Hill to call upon Vince McMahon to talk about all of the wrestler deaths.
You want to know why?
Not one hearing?
You want to know why? Because he's gone out of his way to make sure that wrestling is no longer classified as a sport.
I don't
give
a fuck.
If he actually had the answer to the you've got a wrestling commission over there, correct?
We have state athletic commissions.
Right. If he had the answer to them, like he should, he'd be in a lot more shit, he wouldn't be promoting anymore, and the business, well, the WWE would no longer be around.
I disagree. Dude, alright. Do you remember a movie called The Crow?
Yes.
Alright. You know the main actor, Brandon Lee, died in the making of that movie, right?
Yep.
Died in one of the final film scenes. And there was a big hullabaloo about it. And that's classified as entertainment. Vince McMahon wants to classify classify wrestling as entertainment. The entertainment industry shouldn't have this many deaths in a 4 to 5 year span.
With you, but that's the thing. He's trying to classify it different so he can get away with more.
Then people need to stop letting him get away with it. Absolutely need to stop letting him get away with it.
I agree with that. Hell, wrestling over here, it's not even considered anything. It's not considered entertainment. It's not considered a sport. We have no insurance. Basically, I've had quite a few concussions already, and I haven't even walked into a hospital. Not once. Because how the hell am I going to explain that without being laughed out of the place?
That's the thing in the United States. You have to lie about it. You have to lie. I can't go into a hospital if I injure something wrestling and go, oh, I took a top turnbuckle suplex and hit my head because the guy didn't tuck. Because what insurance company in their right mind is going to cover that?
Hmm.
Look, I get it. It would be high-risk insurance. I get it. You're going to have to pay a lot for premiums. But if insurance companies are insuring NFL players and baseball players and soccer players and stock car racers, if people are getting medical insurance that do far more dangerous professions than wrestling, then why, in the past 40 years, since wrestling became a prevalent industry in the United States, have we not gotten some sort of health care coverage?
Because of the same thing as my doctor asked me when I was getting my knee checked. Oh, that stuff's fake, isn't it?
Yeah,
well,
really?
That's the problem with professional wrestling, is that for as long as it's become popular, and even in the last 20, 25 years when it's become very well known and mainstream, it is still regarded as an absolute joke, and it treats itself as a joke.
Well, I tell you what, I've got a list of about 1,000 names or more that I can take to a doctor that are deceased and have addiction problems, concussion problems, all sorts of problems related to wrestling that related to their deaths, and go, that's really fake, isn't it?
That's the thing. As I said, I had a doctor ask me that question while he was checking out my knee that I injured wrestling. All I did was look at him and I said, you're checking my knee right now. What the fuck do you think? And Tony brings up a good point in the chat room. They're insuring MMA fighters.
Yeah.
Why not wrestlers?
They're insuring MMA fighters. And people have died in an MMA ring.
Well, you're talking about, insurance for wrestlers or lack thereof. Wouldn't it be totally out of the purview to have an independent third party come along and offer to provide that?
If somebody came along and offered to provide... Look, there... And I misspeak, because there is a type of insurance for wrestling and for dangerous activities. And it's... I want to say it's $30 or $40 a visit to a hospital. And it covers everything. The premium... If you're paying, you don't pay a premium, you pay per visit. So, like, when I walk into a hospital, I better have $40 there to cover it. Or a percentage of the cost, because the insurance will cover the rest. It's a high hazard occupational insurance. And I forget the name of the company that offers it. But I don't get why in 2009, when we have the United States federal government wanting to reform civilian health care insurance, when we have the National Football League and the United States federal government getting involved in the National Football League trying to reform the way that they take care of head injuries in the NFL, when we have associations like the MMA who offer insurance to their fighters, the National Hot Rod Association, those guys go 300 miles an hour and a quarter mile in a cage of fiberglass and steel, with rocket fuel strapped to their ass, and they can get health insurance. And people think health insurance just, applies to having a cough or the flu. Health insurance also covers addiction. It also covers addictions and costs for rehab and treatment of said addictions. How many deaths could be prevented with that type of insurance? I'm sorry, I've taken over this segment. I apologize.
Well, you remember, for so many years, wrestling and how it was done was a very closely guarded secret, which is why we have kayfabe, or however the hell you say it. And it's only been
kayfabe.
Yeah, well, it's only been since recently when Vince McMahon came onto the forefront and started trying to change wrestling that it's become more open. The problem is, the public in general isn't really that informed about how wrestling is. Yeah, Vince comes out and says, yeah, it's fake, but yeah, and there's, the don't try this at home stuff, but they're not informed like the actual fans are. And unfortunately, wrestling has come to a point where it's not as popular as it was, and thus not as many people are informed. And it's like you said, big names like Hogan, Undertaker, Michaels, guys like that, if they came out and they stuck to it, something could probably be done. Recently, well, a few years ago, wasn't it Raven that had filed a lawsuit against the WWE over the way they treated the people they had there under contract?
Yes, but here's the thing. They still refer to them as independent contractors, yet Triple H is under a contract with them. Triple H can't go wrestle for TNA. He can't go wrestle for Ring of Honor. He can't go wrestle anywhere. He can't go wrestle for some indie promotion in Pawtucket. The thing is with an independent contractor, think of a plumber as an independent contractor. He can come fix my bathtub one day, and then the very next day go fix somebody else's bathtub. Because they're paying him. Because he's not tied to anybody. He's independent.
But he didn't write up any kind of agreement with you that he can only fix your bathroom.
And that's the thing. That's where this archaic notion that these guys are independent contractors needs to go away. It needs to be gotten rid of.
Well, the point I was trying to make was you say us as fans should be furious and we should be up in arms over it.
You should be.
And we should, you're right. But the point I was trying to make is the problem is with the rest of the public being so uninformed over it. It doesn't help when the people who are up in arms, like us, people who actually give a damn, have no staying power to someone like Vince McMahon, who has, at times, a damn near monopoly over the wrestling industry.
He does have a monopoly over the wrestling industry, and he did for the longest time before TNA came along, yet nobody wanted to take him to court over it. Nobody tried. Nobody tried. You look at, in the 1920s, the United States government put into effect rules for business. Rules for which you could operate a business by. Because they didn't want the monopolies of the, oh my God, I'm trying to think of names here, I'm so pissed off.
Bill Gates?
No. Well, Bill Gates is a recent one, but I'm, New York. Oh my God, I'm trying to think.
Factory? Oh, jeez.
I'm trying to think of names, but the thing is, they didn't want those monopolies. They didn't want the, you know, five people to control 90% of the wealth of the United States. They didn't want that. So they came up with these rules and laws so that you couldn't do that. And Vince McMahon came along in the 2000s and bought out WCW and ECW and bought up his competition. There was no competition in professional wrestling. Now, Vince will argue that there were thousands of independent promotions, but really? Really? We're going to consider those as competition to WWE? We're going to consider a place like IWA Mid-South is competition to WWE. It's ridiculous.
Well, you've definitely opened up a whole several avenues of discussions that we could take a look at in the coming weeks. But let's just bring this around again to the tragic occurrence of Eddie Fatu, MAGA, who we lost over the weekend. I just want to say that I want to send out my condolences to both the Fatu and the Anoya families and let them know that my thoughts and all my thoughts and hopes and prayers are with them at this time. Spud?
You had questions though, and I was kind of interested to hear what your questions were. So I'm sorry, I really didn't mean to take over the segment like this.
Well, Well, no, that's fine. You made up some really, really valid points, and you pretty much answered questions without me having to ask them. You're one of those dream guests. You know what I'm saying?
So that's all go that far.
Yeah, that's all good. So guys, you want to send out your condolences before we go to break here?
Like I said, I know Alpha. I've met the man, spoken to the man on several occasions. My good friend of mine, who was my trainer, Ray, all trained under Alpha at his school in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's that family has probably done more for wrestling as far as a Samoan, you know, the Samoan, the Samoans are concerned, then Vince McMahon and Vern Gagne and all those guys combined. They are
ties in every Samoan name almost.
Yeah, and they are looked upon as royalty in the wrestling industry with Samoans and even non-Samoans for what they've done. It is a horrible, horrible tragedy that he died. And he was in his 30s, if I'm not mistaken. He's, what, 34, 35? It is a horrible, horrible occurrence and tragedy that this man has passed away. And like with Eddie Guerrero, I hope that the wrestling media doesn't get ahead of themselves with insinuating and inferring that it could possibly be related to drugs and somehow. Look, I know that the evidence is there because of his release from WWE and the wellness policy, but let's not forget that illnesses happen. Tragedies do strike at the most inopportune times, so this just could be a tragedy, but it sheds light on a whole other can of worms that we need to get into.
Mace.
I've pretty much said my piece on all this on Target Practice the other night, so I don't want to really go too far into it. For a guy his size, Umaga was an absolutely brilliant, fast wrestler. And a guy like him comes along every God knows how long. You know, somebody who can be that size and move like he does. It's sad that yet another guy, another brother of the wrestling fraternity has passed on before the age of 40, which is becoming a really bad statistic. And, yeah, you know, my prayers and thoughts go out to the entire family, and, you know, they'll hope they get through it fine. Will.
Just, as a fan, it hurts every time you see something like this happen. I mean, you've got the wrestlers you really care about, but in the end, you should, you know, always care about the wrestlers for what they're doing just for you to get a few moments out of a match. You know, even if something happened to John Cena, as much as I, you know, prat on about how much I dislike the way they're using him, you know, if something happened to him tomorrow, I'd, you know, feel just as bad that it happened to anybody. And just, it never gets any easier, and something really needs to be done, no matter the outcome of the autopsy report. This, you know, Eddie Guerrero's death, unfortunately, was the catalyst to get something going, but unfortunately it wasn't the kick that everything needed. But my condolences, my prayers go out to his family, and there's not much else I can say.
I want to make one more point after Omega gets out his condolences.
Okay, Omega.
Well, naturally, I echo the sentiments of everyone else, and you know, my thoughts and prayers personally going out to Eddie's family as well. It's horrible to lose someone that young, and how many times it has happened in the last 10 years is
horrible. It's absolutely inexcusable that an industry this big still takes so little care of its people. I mean, any career, I mean, you put it toward any other profession, either on the athletic side in sports or on the entertainment side in acting. No other industry takes such poor care of its people, and its people do so much more and sacrifice so much more of their well-being for the sake of entertaining fans. It's tragic that we still have absolutely that they still get absolutely no payback for it, and it gets to that point where, you know, how many more young deaths do we have to have before someone notices and someone does something about it? Because this shouldn't have happened. You know, even Eddie probably shouldn't have happened if this was caught.
Very true.
Personally, I'm just sick of waking up in the morning and hearing about this shit.
Yeah.
You know, I woke up Saturday morning to hear about Umaga. The day Eddie died, I woke up, jumped on the internet, checked the reports to find Eddie's death. You know, it's an amazing downer on a day to wake up to find, you know, guys that you look up to, despite what they do with them on television, dead, you know. It's, yeah. Sorry, Spud.
No, you know, Omega was kind of segueing into what I was going to say. I've changed my view on this. It's not going to take somebody like The Undertaker or John Cena standing up. It's going to take somebody like The Undertaker or John Cena dying in the middle of the ring.
You make my heart melt.
Oh, can I get my nose back, please?
What the hell?
What the hell was that?
I believe that was Rock doing a mood lightener.
That was...
What the fuck?
That's what it's going to take. It's not going to take John Cena and an Undertaker or Shawn Michaels standing up and using their voice. It's going to take them dying in the middle of the ring until people's eyes finally open and go, this isn't right.
The sad thing is that that's probably true. I mean, in the scope, it's unfortunate, but no.
And you know what? Sorry.
But here's the thing: it didn't change. I mean, look how popular and big of a name Eddie Guerrero was. You know, and he died while he was still under contract, while he was still active. You know, the day he was supposed to win a championship.
He died in a hotel room, the same with Brian Pillman. That's why it didn't affect anything. That's why nothing really changed. What's going to have to happen is Undertaker's going to be have to setting somebody up for the last ride, or Shawn Michaels is going to be having to go in for a super kick and just stroke out and have a heart attack and go into cardiac arrest and die in the middle of the ring for people's eyes to finally be opened and the blinders be ripped from them.
You think that's really going to open up their eyes?
Yes. Yes, you know why? Because how many people have you seen die live on television, Tim?
One.
But it'll I think the only way it'll have any effect is if there's drugs of some sort in their system, or they take into account their numerous injuries. Recently, we actually had a wrestler die in the ring, which was Masahiro Chono, I believe. I mean, granted, it's not as bad in Japan as it is in America, but you still get my point.
Have you seen the old forum signature? It was in the old WNL forums a long time ago, and in the WTR forums when the two sites were together, when the two shows were together on one site. There was somebody had the sig, and I don't remember who it was, but it was the greatest sig ever.
Is this the one about?
I know exactly which one.
In Canada, it's a in tradition. In Japan, it's something else. In Mexico, it's something else. But in America, it's a joke. And it's talking about professional wrestling. That's why in Japan it's not bad, because that thing, it's tradition there. It is looked upon. They laugh the Japanese laugh at promotions like CZW, the ultra-violent promotion out of Philly, or FNW, the one out of Japan. They laugh at that. They think that that is an utter joke. And yet wrestling fans here take it seriously. That is why the wrestlers are treated with so much more dignity and respect, and their situations with healthcare and stuff are better there. Here in the United States, it's going to take somebody like Undertaker or Cena or Michaels dying in the middle of the ring.
You have a very salient point. It's a sad thing that we actually have to think that that is what it's going to take to change things. But at this point in time, it's like that's all that's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to have to happen.
I do apologize. I did drop out before I was able to start making the point I was going to say. When we were saying that it was going to take a guy like Baker or John Cena or somebody to drop dead in the middle of the ring to get people to open their eyes, to be honest, I know exactly who it's probably going to end up happening to, and it's unfortunate to say this, but
Hogan?
It's going to happen to Hulk Hogan. Yeah.
Hogan would be the big one. If it happened to Hogan...
Yeah. I was thinking him.
The guy is still working his ass off when he's fucked up his back, his knees, just about everything on his body, and he still keeps coming back. He's going to be the guy that's going to happen to.
That, but see, that comes down to the guy that's just held on too long. It has to be somebody who is popular, and I'm not saying, I mean, Hogan revolutionized wrestling, and Hogan, you know, Hogan was, is such an integral part of wrestling history, the world over. But you can't sit there and tell me that it wouldn't be just as impactful if Undertaker did it, or if it happened to Undertaker. And to say something to Will real quick, yes, I really do think it would be, it would have to happen this way, because if you look back, when Owen Hart fell 65 feet, smacked his head on a turnbuckle and died in the ring, that was the last night that anybody dropped, that you really ever saw anybody drop from the rafters on the zip line.
Yeah, that's been kind of on my mind this whole time, actually, so.
But the thing is, it happened in front of God knows how many thousands of people,
and
also millions live on pay-per-view, and, you know,
that's,
as much
that's
as we
what I'm saying.
It should have done something then.
And it did. It did. They stopped using zip lines. It had nothing to do with his injuries. It had nothing to do with the way of life. Eddie Guerrero dying shed a big light on it. Chris Benoit shed an even bigger light on it. It's going to take someone like Hogan or Undertaker or Michaels or Cena dying in the middle of the ring for the, you know, and it has to be, I mean, it has to be one of those, oh my God, this could have been prevented with the proper medical care. But this is a whole other can of worms. I'm sorry.
And you know what? Chris Benoit should have been the one to do it, and unfortunately we didn't get what should have happened out of that tragedy, because Vince what Chris Norinsky and guys like him did the entire way, and it's just absolutely disgusting the way he runs the WWE.
I'm sorry, we gotta go to break.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We gotta keep the ball rolling here. Everybody, there it is. Sad weekend in the world of professional wrestling.
Just to lighten the mood, I'm peeing in a Gatorade bottle.
Good to know. Everybody, with that, grab your Gatorade bottles and take your rest breaks now. We're going to take a quick time out here right on Russ Talk Radio, on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to be back on the other side of this with the great debate. Stick around for that. We'll be back right after this.
This Thursday night. Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Nick Anthony from OWW Radio, and I want you to join me Tuesdays for the most opinionated wrestling talk on the internet. We mix in current events and news from all over the world. It's nonstop opinionated wrestling news talk. It is OWW Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Write it down. OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the site known around the world, man. I see the largest wrestling database worldwide, even in Canada. Come on, I'm just joking. But listen to OWW Radio with features like This Week in Wrestling History, where we make mention of all things that happened this week in wrestling history. Can you imagine it? Plus, the Match of the Week and OWW Jeopardy. That's where we test your wrestling knowledge. It's just like Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. We got interviews. Just recently, we interviewed Bret the Hitman Hart. Excuse me. I said Bret the Hitman Hart. OWW Radio at Online, worldofwrestling.com. Also, clickwrestle.com and YouTube. We're there too, OWW Radio. And subscribe, slap nuts to us at the iTunes Store. OWW Radio is on Twitter, and we have Facebook also. OWW Radio, man, where fans and legends come together.
With 2009 coming to an end, Wrestle Talk Radio returns to the airwaves on December 27th to present to you the WTR Year in Review. From the return of a charismatic superstar.
Make it easy on yourselves, you little troll. Come out here and face me like a man. Your dad can't save you now.
Stepping outside of our fantasy world of fake feud to the reality of Jeff Hardy's current legal woes.
Look, I won, so I guess I proved everybody wrong. I became the first ever straight-edge world heavyweight champion. And then I got rid of Jeff for good. And just 3 weeks after he's gone for good, Jeff goes and does what I've been saying for months. It's all there in black and white. You can turn on the TV and you can see it. I'll tell you this, Eve. You'll never see my mugshot posted all over the internet. You won't read about me in the headlines, unlike Jeff.
And for the legends, that still happens.
And low drop kick right to the patella. Oh, hang on. Watch this, Michael Cole. This is how it's done. By the Hall of Famers. Oh! Vintage Ricky the Dragon.
Join Wrestle Talk Radio on December 27th at 10 p.m. Eastern for the good.
Michael Cole is there! Let's go! It's in! Self-esteem and zero!
The bad.
Feels like an hour for us! He tapped out!
And the ugly.
I have just received word. Here is your winner. It's the new WWE Champion, Randy Orton.
Well, wait a minute. Randy Orton retains the title. Randy Orton retains the WWE Championship. He is the champion. He's
Ladies
winning.
And gentlemen, I have just received word that Mr. McMahon has reordered for this match to restart.
That was 2009 right here. Only on WildTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slobber knocker.
back, I'm coming to your town in my pink Cadillac. I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm just a honky tonk man.
He's honky tonk, and hey, welcome back to the Rest Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Glad that you could join us for the ride tonight. Everybody, are you having fun yet?
Is it just me, or is that like the most sort of singable wrestling theme you could ever have in... It's probably because I actually enjoy that theme that I could probably sing it if I really wanted to. Not that you guys would ever hear me sing on this goddamn network.
Go ahead, sing on this goddamn network, because you know there's somebody's going to make you do it anyway.
Hell no!
Kick in!
Damn right.
Yeah, it's a damn good toe-tapping tune. Honky Tonk Man. Yeah, speaking of which, the Honky Tonk Man, he's going up against Edge in our first edition of the Great Debate tonight, guys. You're looking forward to this one?
It's going to be interesting.
Looking forward to the other one, actually.
Oh, you're looking forward to the other one. That'll be interesting, too. Why don't we kick it off?
The bell has sounded for this week's Great Debate. From Bret Hart to Stone Cold Steve Austin, we are in search for the greatest intercontinental champion. Do you disagree with what we have to say? Then interact with us live on the WTR toll-free line.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion. How about the time?
Now, step into the ring with us as we determine champion of all time.
And that's right, we're continuing our search for the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. Going up first in the square circle right now, right here, we got the Honky Tonk Man. He's taking on Canada's greatest Edge. And we're going to be starting off with Will.
Oh, really? I'm going to go with Edge. Simply because the Honky Tonk Man's only... real claim to fame, well, not only, but I mean, his biggest claim to fame with the IC title is how long his only reign was. Granted, he was IC champ in a time when you could actually have a long reign, but still, he only had one reign. Edge, on the other hand, has had several, and not only that, what the fuck was that?
What the fuck?
Okay, not only that,
Zordon's calling somebody.
Not only that, but during his during Edge's multiple reigns, he's had a lot of matches that I've just enjoyed and just I can think back on real quick. So easily for me, Edge.
So 1-0 for Edge over Honky Tonk Man. We're gonna move up the list to Omega.
I'm voting Honky Tonk Man. Will is right. Yeah, the one thing that Honky Tonk Man ever did was hold the Intercontinental title longer than anybody. That said, that still makes him synonymous as an iconic Intercontinental champion.
Of course.
It is. Oh, boy. Now, Edge's five reigns. Edge's five reigns, fine, but there's going to be plenty of people over the years who will hold it five times. I mean, John Morrison's going to hold it five times eventually. That being said, no one is ever going to hold that belt longer than the Honky Tonk Man ever would, which means he's always going to be known for the Intercontinental Championship. He's always going to be iconic.
Oh, we're at one apiece. Let's hear from you, Spug.
I'm going to go Honky Tonk Man. Because I guarantee you in five reigns that Edge didn't rack up the number of days that Honky Tonk Man had in his one. And let's not forget, they don't call the Intercontinental title the workhorse title for nothing. I think in this debate that's been forgotten.
Edge, 171 days. Honky Tonk Man, 454.
Wait, how long?
171 days.
100. Wow, they really don't respect titles anymore.
171 days over five reigns. Over five reigns.
Yeah, even Chris Jericho's record-breaking 9 is only 318.
God, I wish they would treat titles with some respect for these days. Jesus Christ.
Honky Tonk Man held it 450-some-odd days in what, one reign? One?
Yep. Uh-huh.
In one reign.
Year and a half.
The Intercontinental Champion. A year and a half as the Intercontinental Champion. I think that term workhorse has been forgotten in this debate, and that's why I continually vote for people like Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect. They may not have the number of title reigns that a Chris Jericho and an Edge have. They may not be as flashy or as popular as those guys, but they define the term workhorse. So my vote goes to Honky Tonk Man.
There we go. Mason, it's your turn.
I'm going to throw my vote out there for the Honky Tonk Man, not only because of, as Bug said, the workhorse factor. You know, as a wrestler, I understand that. But also because when you take a look at the two guys as champions, I did with their titles and how entertaining they were, the Honky Tonk Man's got it hand down. He was always entertaining as champion, whereas Edge, it was more like, I've got the title, oh, look, now I've got leader and herpes, and now I'm sucking face with Vicky Guerrero, you know.
Okay.
But the point is, the belt with Edge was always the secondary factor. It was always what he was doing with other people and stuff, whereas with the Honky Tonk Man, the focus was, hey, I've been champion for 400-odd days. Who's going to take it off me? You know, he put the focus on the belt rather than himself, which is why I'm giving my vote to the Honky Tonk.
And there we go. It looks like the Honky Tonk's just taking a bit of a lead right here. Do you guys really need me to tell you what my choice is?
No, because the Honky Tonk Man wins either way.
That's true. But
he's still going to go for the Canadian.
I am going to throw my vote to the Honky Tonk Man.
Was it a Honky Tonk Man Canadian?
No. Wayne Ferris, the Honky Tonk Man. He is from Memphis or something like that. But he did wrestle in Stampede Wrestling. As a matter of fact,
That might have been where I thought he was Canadian, so my apologies.
He was Stampede Wrestling's number one top heel until he was signed with the WWF.
That's why I thought he was Canadian, so my apologies.
Okay, no worries. And he was one of the two guys I absolutely loved to hate.
You know,
Tim doesn't go with the Canadian. What a shock.
You know what? Tim really hasn't been voting on as far as country is concerned lately,
I don't vote just because of the country. I vote for the best guy. And if that happens to be an American, well, surprise, surprise.
That's all right. The next great debate is going to be greatest American wrestler of all time, and Tim's going to have to vote for all Americans. His question is going to be, did he have Canadian parents? Is there a Canadian anywhere in his ancestry?
Did he marry a Canadian?
Well, we'll talk about the best diva of all time next and see if we can get one of them on the show, and I'll ask her if she's got any Canadian in her. If she says no, I'll ask if she'd like some.
You fail.
Fail. There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, my choice to Honky Tonk Man. Honky Tonk Man moves on over Edge. Honky, he made that belt. That's all there is to it. He wasn't the first winner. He wasn't the, you know, most times champion, however you want
to. He only won it once.
He only won it once.
But if you're going to only win it one time, god damn.
What, he held it for a year and a half.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, and his legacy as the IC champion is such that we had Santino Marella with the Honkamita.
That's the best impression you've ever done.
No, it's
and
not.
It's still actually. Pretty kind of sucked.
At least it's better than somebody trying to do Stewie. Or Peter Griffin.
So, shut up, all of you. There it is. Okay, so Hockey Talk Man moves on. Next up, Bret Hart taking on Eddie Guerrero.
Go ahead, Spud. Get it over with.
I don't know who to vote for.
That's why we do these things.
Here's the thing. I hate Bret Hart because he's overhyped and overrated. Was he an outstanding technical wrestler? Absolutely. Did he have an uncanny ability to work a match? He really wasn't good with crowd psychology, but he was great with in-ring psychology. Yes, but it was the same fucking match every time. And you can say that about a lot of the greats. It's the same fucking match and the same moveset every time. Needless on the other hand, though, you have Eddie Guerrero. Great technical wrestler. Great with psychology. Great with crowd psychology. Eddie made the belt better by holding it. It wasn't one of those situations where Eddie Guerrero needed the title, like kind of like Ultimate Warrior needed the title to get over. Eddie Guerrero put the title over more while he held it because he was Latino Heat. Because he shimmied down to the ring and he lied and he cheated and he stole. He did all those things. Him and his gimmick made the belt better. Now, Bret Hart, in the days of the 80s, was a workhorse. He was an absolute workhorse for the WWE. He did everything he needed to do to get over. He did everything he needed to do to help that company get to the top. But, in the end, is the title better off for having being held by Bret Hart as opposed to being held by Eddie Guerrero? And my vote goes to Eddie Guerrero.
There you go. 1-0, Eddie Guerrero. Mace, you're on deck.
Again, sort of looking at it, I sort of throw it up to workhorse versus entertaining. Personally, I can't even remember Bret as an Intercontinental Champion. Yet I can remember Eddie as an Intercontinental Champion. So I'm just going to throw it to Eddie just because I remember him more as the IC champ than Bret Hart, who I actually remember more as a World Heavyweight Champion. So that would be Eddie Guerrero, Tim.
There you go. Well, 2-0 for the Luchador. Will.
I hate being the youngest on this show sometimes because I was watching all these guys when I was barely forming memories, so I don't remember Bret Hart as the Intercontinental Champion. That's actually how a lot of my IC votes have gone. Oh, I don't remember this guy because I was still shitting my pants when he was wrestling.
Shut up.
By virtue of that, I kind of had to go with Eddie because that's the one I can remember most recently.
Yeah, well, you suck. Omega, you're next.
Oh, jeez. See, no, it's already been outvoted here, unfortunately. But I'm going to say it anyway. I'd vote for Bret.
Why?
You can disqualify my vote if you want.
The Intercontinental title was the beginning of Bret's rise, shortly after he won it for the first time and against Mr. Perfect, so is being defended against quality stock here, is the year he won the King of the Ring. And it started making a name for himself. And he went on to feud for it with Roddy Piper, which was a really good match. And it's really what the Intercontinental title was meant to do. It helped put him over, and it put him against really good competition. And that since he held the belt really well. Whereas Eddie Guerrero, the first time he ever held the IC belt, it was more about his feud with China after her gaining the Intercontinental Championship than it was the Intercontinental Championship. And again, he only had two reigns, and the second one was an awesome feud with RVD and an awesome letter match. But half of his reign was all about the woman who held the IC belt and stealing it away from her and the relationship afterwards. The belt was a prop in the feud. And that, I don't think, makes it a good Intercontinental Championship. So I would go for Brett simply on better quality of use.
There you go, Bret Hart, better quality of use. Well, it's a throwaway at this point in time, but my vote goes to Brett because he's Canadian.
See? I knew it was coming somewhere. I knew it, you filthy fucking Canuck.
I may be a fucking Canuck, but I am not filthy. Compare me to you, and I shine. I'm so fucking clean. No, I'm
bald.
But not because Meg is absolutely right. Back when Brett held the title, he held it, you know, the title was used as the stepping stone to the main event scene, and it wasn't a prop so much as it was a prop up. And Brett made good use of that of the IC title. And you know, as far as wrestling ability and all that other wonderful crap goes, Eddie was of course fantastic, trained in that luchador style. Really, really entertaining to watch in the ring. He wound up being a bit of a comedy act in half his matches. He did. And Brett was so serious about wrestling that everybody accuses him, and perhaps rightly so, of going to the extreme of living the character. Which, back when kayfabe was still alive and kicking and people weren't smart to the business, they had to do. So he definitely was, you know.
I will say this about Bret Hart. He and Lance Storm have one thing in common. One thing. Other than being from Calgary.
They could be serious for a moment? For a minute?
Boring!
Yeah, fuck you.
Anyway.
Just as a wrestler himself, I've got to go with Brett's skill and abilities over Eddie's. If you were to put Eddie's luchador style against Brett's technical and mat wrestling ability, I'd have to say that Brett would come out on top. Part of that is Brett's size and his strength, as well as in addition to his ability. So I'm not voting for Brett because he's Canadian. I voted for Brett because I think personally he was the best overall wrestler.
Can I bring a little debate to this supposed debate we're having?
Yes, you may.
I think the one problem with this whole thing is the eras that these men held the championships in. Back before the Attitude Era, you could have long championship reigns that meant something when the belt wasn't just a prop, because that's what the wrestling was about. It wasn't about the flash and the gimmicks. Fast forward to when Austin stepped in and got the whole Attitude Era running. The belts didn't mean that much anymore. And a perfect example would actually be what Omega said about Eddie and his first reign. The way he won it was nothing but shenanigans. What, China got knocked out and he was all like, oh, China, you're knocked out. And the ref counted to three. That's
right.
Not a win. That's all. It's all about the storyline. And I think that's kind of a problem, because the guys who could be gifted wrestlers who could have long reigns don't get it, because now it's more about the show and the story than it is the actual wrestling. And I just...
That goes way back to the argument of the psychology is gone.
Yeah, right. And I just thought I'd throw it out there that it's almost at times impossible to try and compare some of these men in their reigns and what they did, because the eras they wrestled in were so amazingly different despite the short time between them.
Anybody have a follow-up on that?
Well, no, I will agree with what he said. But the thing is that when it comes down to it, what makes it difficult to compare the eras is not really the evolution of the business, but the evolution of the wrestler. Things evolve. I mean, we all know that. But the...
Christians don't.
No, apparently not. But I am a Catholic, and I will tell you that we do evolve. the thing is that the wrestler has evolved. Gone are the days of psychology and the thought that, hey, if I work my ass off and I, you know, I carry this belt and make it the best that it can and add to the legacy of the people who carried it before me, you know, I will get to step up. Now it is a prop. It is no longer a title. It is no longer an achievement. It is no longer something to be proud of. It is simply a prop to sell your merchandise.
Excellent points all. So there it is, everybody. Eddie Guerrero moves on. Edge going down to defeat to the Honky Tonk Man as Honky Tonk moves on. Great debate right here.
Bombed.
We're going to take the last time out of the evening. We're going to be back on the other side of this. Take a really quick look at TLC next Sunday night, and then rapid fire. We'll be back right after this.
I lie, I steal, I steal. I don't care if you don't like me. Everybody wants to fight me. If you feel it, hey. Oye, lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna meet. Ay, nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you. Yo, Latino heat. Coming from the streets of the ghetto, at the end of the week, I get to keep the dinero. Your back to sleep when I speak in your casa. Your life sucks cause you're bankrupt and I'm laughing. Can't trust me.
This holiday season, join the Wild Hog Radio Network as we present the first annual Rockin' Cindy's Christmas Contest. We are looking to find the best singer of a Christmas carol as well as the best picture of a Christmas tree. Complete contest details can be found on the official website of the Wild Hog Radio Network, located at wildhogradio.com. Help us spread some good old-fashioned holiday cheer this holiday season.
Merry Christmas!
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no-limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wild Talk Radio is sponsored by Tripology. Book your next trip with Tripology. If you're finding it's time to get away, you have an important upcoming business trip, or if it's last minute and you need to get there fast without any hassles, call Tripology today.
I'm sure.
If you're working too many hours and can't find the time to plan that badly needed vacation, then stress no longer. Tripology is here to help. Tripology will help you get to where you need to go, whether it's for an important business trip, a last-minute flight out to see a loved one, or that much-needed and overdue vacation. Now is the time to make Tripology your
travel agent.
No need to open up your mind and see like me.
Call Tripology toll free at 1-866-289-9950 or log on to www.mytripology.com and plan your trip now.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, here we go. Back right here, all the Wild Talk Radio Network, back to wrap things up here. Going to take a really, really quick look at TLC and then give you a little bit of rap fire. But we'll do that in just a quick second here. Skirting off, next Sunday night, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, brand new pay-per-view for World Wrestling Entertainment. Why don't we take a quick look at the matches here, and we'll just do some quick picks. For everybody, World Heavyweight Champion Undertaker takes on Batista in a chair match. Will.
For the love of God, Undertaker, I may as well boycott SmackDown, too.
Pretty soon all you got left will be whatever they call ECW. Omega.
That's entertaining.
There you go. Omega.
Lamest match gimmick ever.
Okie dokie.
God. And I know, you call it a chair match, and I kind of expect to be... There's something wrong here. Okay, a ladder I can see, a table I can see, a chair... And it used to be in the day that, you know, it'd be a bad match if it didn't have a chair in it. But I seriously doubt they're going to give this one to Batista, so I predict The Undertaker going over once again.
There you go, Mace.
Real quick, if it was anyone else, two guys who could actually be entertaining in the ring together, two guys who could innovate, they might make a chair match work. These two, no.
You mean innovate, not innervate?
Shut up.
Fucking Indiana hit people.
At least I don't live in Ohio.
No, the only way a chair match works is if it's a 5-on-5 tag match and they're actually playing... musical chairs in the ring.
That would be highly entertaining.
Mace, what's your prediction on this one?
I don't know. Either way, can I just boycott SmackDown?
I don't know.
I'm going to go with The Undertaker because, yeah, putting the title on the... so soon after turning a heel is a stupid idea. Plus, the match is going to be boring as batshit.
There you go. So, Undertaker. And, Spug.
Undertaker.
Okay, so there you go. I think Undertaker's going to take it. Next match. Next up, we have, okay, Will, go to the bathroom. We've got John Cena versus Sheamus in a tables match.
Oh, I can't carry my laptop to the toilet.
I told you, go to the bathroom. I didn't mean to take the laptop with you.
Yeah, we don't want to hear you piss.
So, okay, reverse order. Spug.
The table.
Yeah, it's going to get out of the match faster than we will.
There you
yeah.
go.
Fuck, John Cena, because we all know Sheamus isn't going to win.
There you go. Mace. Mace.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome back to the show.
So,
who's going to win between Sheamus and John Cena?
Whoever's got something more entertaining on that night.
Okay, so the grass growing channel.
Pretty much.
But no,
I'm going to go with Cena. Yes, I'm going to go with Cena because we know Sheamus ain't going to take it.
Okay, Omega.
The concession stand. This is the most transparent match of all time. Of course Cena's going to win in one of the most boring main events of all time.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Will?
I'm with Omega on that one.
Will?
I'm going to say Sheamus just because I fucking can.
I thought he committed suicide over that real quick.
Let's face it. In a John Cena match, nobody wins.
Okay, well, I'm gonna
valid point.
This is almost right. Like the line from Aliens versus Predator. No matter who wins, we all lose.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I'm gonna say I would like to see the red-headed albino defeat John Cena by throwing him through a table, but we all know Cena's gonna retain the title. He's gonna no-sell everything Sheamus has, and they'll have built Sheamus up for no reason. So,
yeah,
with one
I'd
dissent...
I'd like to see a flaming marshmallow win, too, but it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, come on, I've got more chance of beating Cena than Sheamus does.
Wait. What if we had the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man wrestle John Cena?
Nobody steps on a church in my town!
You think Bill Murray would come out of the crowd?
I would cross the street.
The ref, purpose.
Don't cross the streams.
There you go. Yeah. All right, guys. Quickly here. Next up, Intercontinental Champion John Morrison takes on Drew McIntyre. Will.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
Morrison.
John Morrison. Okay, everybody, just throw your answers out there. Morrison! Morrison. Don't go around the horn. Let's just go. Let's get through it. Come on.
Okay, so there's Morrison. I say Morrison. Spug, what do you say? Morrison?
Morrison! For fuck's sakes, old man.
Omega, what do you say?
Despite being booked as a really weak champion right now, definitely Morrison.
Mace.
Who do you guess?
Morrison.
Yeah, no shit.
Who guesses your mom?
My mom will be a horrible Intercontinental Champion.
She was a great date.
Judy Bagwell was pretty bad as a wrestler, so... There we go. Next up, Unified Tag Team Champions Jericho and Big Show versus DX in a tables, ladders, and chairs match.
I pity the ladder that actually has to hold up the Big Show.
I pity the fool!
You know that spot's going to come up where everyone in the announcement is going, oh, God, Big Show's going up, Big Show's going up, and then nothing really happens. He just had knee surgery, and they're not going to drop him like that.
That won't happen.
See, no. I want to see the spot where Show is at the top of the ladder, and he takes the four-table bump on the outside.
Oh,
that crater would be glorious.
You know what? Will's got a point. Kaiju big battle. That's what it would be.
King Kong is down. King Kong is down.
Can we have Godzilla come out and wrestle Big Show in the middle of this match? Seriously, is it possible?
Don't think so.
Kaiju! I'm gonna vote for the floor because
the one that loses.
Because I think when show comes off the ladder and goes through those four tables, the floor is the only thing gonna be left standing. because we all know the seismic eruption that's going to come out of that, it's going to knock everybody in the arena on their ass.
Yeah, yes. If show falls off the ladder, we're going to have a boiler room brawl on our hands just in the spur of the moment.
And you thought that superplex had impact.
You
yes!
Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that would be glorious. All right, pick your winners, guys. I think we all did. The floor.
Yeah. Okay, if the ring collapses, how the hell are they going to get a ladder that can reach the title?
A Jeff Hardy ladder.
Well, see, here's what happens. A show falls off the ladder, goes through the table, hits the floor, giant crater, everybody falls on their ass. The belts in the shaking and the earthquake that's going on in the arena fall and land on the whoever's wrestling show in Jericho.
Hornswoggle. There you go.
That's what happens.
Okay. So whoever is wrestling show in Jericho, that's DX. So you're predicting DX.
I could care less, dude. I'm not going to watch a pay-per-view.
There you go. Mace, do you care? Does it matter? Pick somebody.
Not really. Hello.
All right, your show retains. That's my guess.
Oh, yeah, for your show.
All right. Feel free, Omega.
I'm thinking here. I was too busy thinking up jokes, so I couldn't focus on a prediction.
Okay,
that
well.
Image of Big Show in a fucking cartoon crater.
while you're thinking, we'll go to.
Well, we do have a Wile E. Coyote cam in a ladder match.
Oh my god, that is so great!
Oh, you're right! You're right!
Can we get this whole.
Yes! Yes! We need sound effect.
Definitely need the sound effect. I'm going to call Jericho to retain. They need the belt a hell of a lot more than DX does right now. It's the one thing holding that team together.
There you go. All right. So, Will.
Probably Jericho, but I wouldn't be surprised if just because DX hasn't held the tag team champ as Shawn and Triple H, that DX might come out with this. So, can I vote the floor?
No.
Yes, you can.
Oh, that's my cue to ignore you.
Okay, well, then we'll move on to the last match listed.
Apparently Pac-Man has some work to do.
I'm in the middle of my show.
ECW championship match. Christian versus Shelton Benjamin in the ladder match. First off, you guys see this as the show stealer?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
As
and
long
Tim,
as.
And ironic.
Tim.
Oops.
One
yeah.
quick question for you. Last week, when we were talking about this match being done, we were what spot on the card will it be and how long it's going for? We're still missing your prediction.
Ah. Third match on the card.
And how long?
10 minutes.
Oh. Didn't I
and
say
I have
about
been taking
minutes?
Notes of these. Spug said third match 8 minutes. I said first match 10 minutes. Will said first match 15 minutes. Omega decided somewhere in the middle of the card was 15 minutes.
Was somewhere in the middle of the time limit.
Oh yeah, well like it'd be a semi-main, like the fourth match.
See, that's what you would hope. But they're probably going to open.
Look how weak this card is. Even WWE was hyping this as a possible show stealer in storyline. They know they're going to have something a hell of a lot better in store with that one.
Yeah, but with it being a TLC pay-per-view, you know they're going to open up with one of their four main events. So poor Morrison and McIntyre are going to be stuck trying to haul ass in the middle of a card full of gimmicks.
Yeah, that's going to be your opener. That's the curtain jerker.
Yes, anyway, now we got to predict who's going to be the winner out of Christian and Shelton Benjamin.
Yes, we do. So go ahead, Mace.
I'm going to put on Christian to retain.
Alrighty, so there's one for Christian. Spug.
Benjamin.
Omega.
in ECW's first pay-per-view match in months, possibly their last, ironically enough.
Yeah.
Christian.
All right. Will.
Christian.
There you go. And I'm going for Christian, too. So we got one for Belton Benjamin, Shelton Benjamin. And that was, I do believe, Spug. So there it is. There's our rapid-fire predictions for the TLC pay-per-view next Sunday night. Don't forget, WrestleTalk Radio will be on right afterwards to break it down for you, because a couple of us will be watching it. So,
a couple.
Yeah, I have an excuse to do nothing next Sunday. That's going to be awesome.
Sweet. Awesome. Cool stuff. All right. Well, guys, here it is, final segment of the show. It is time for Rapid Fire.
Let's do it.
Time now for Rapid Talk Radio Rapid Fire. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer tough, challenging, sometimes outrageous, and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, man.
There we go, rapid fire time. We're going to start off tonight with Spug. Spug, you ready?
Sure.
I smell pizza.
Thanks.
Gee, I smell it too.
I don't know if you can smell pizza.
All right, Spug, if you had to choose between a table, ladder, or chair as a weapon, what would it be?
The chair. It's more versatile.
All right, the chair. Mace, what would your dream TLC match be?
Oh, bloody hell. Dream TLC match. For once it's not a TNA question, and I'm stumped.
Holy shit.
This is why we give you TNA questions.
Right? I'll answer it for you if you don't want.
Is it any era?
Dream. Yeah. Dream match, yeah. Could involve Bugs Bunny if you wanted.
27 midgets and a bunch of plastic tables.
Hornswoggle versus Bugs Bunny.
I'm going to say it's got to involve Shawn Michaels in some way. Like early 90s Shawn Michaels, where he could actually move. And say John Morrison.
What?
Old Michael versus new Michaels. I don't fucking know. You stumped me, you bastard.
That might be
really?
A good
right
match.
Off, right off the tip of my tongue, I've got Christian, AJ Styles, maybe Samoa Joe, young Shawn Michaels, Jeff Hardy when he wasn't on draw. Oh, wait, that's never happened.
There you go.
Yeah, I was Jeff Hardy when he was three.
Yeah, well, no. Well, maybe. You never know what was in the breast milk. All right, so moving on, Will, your turn. What WWE Eva would you like to have in your corner?
Oh, current?
Whenever.
Whenever? I'm actually going to say Beth Phoenix.
Oh, the Glamazon.
She's more of a man than Will will ever be.
I'd let her manhandle me.
There you go. That's exactly what I was afraid was going to happen. Okay, Omega, what current wrestler would you like to see in an action movie that hasn't yet been in an action movie?
I think this is a similar question to what I've been to what I've gotten before, and the answer is going to be the exact same. Would be Chris Jericho, because I think he'd be one of the most badass action movie villains of all time. He's already got the perfect character for it in the WWE right now.
Well, it's a good answer, but think about Christian as an action star.
Are you in some way trying to hype his fledgling, failing acting career? Wait, did you say Christian or Chris Jericho? Fuck, I wasn't listening. I'm busy telling people.
Omega said Chris Jericho. I said imagine Christian as an action star.
Okay, all right. So I did hear Christian from you. All right.
There you go. All right, so back up to the top. Bug, what is the one thing you're thankful for in regards to John Cena?
Oh, God damn it.
That should have been a Will question.
And I would have killed you.
Okay.
What should have been a Will question?
Let me tell you, Rock and I did debate on who to ask this one to.
Oh, God damn it.
One thing
I won the coin toss.
The one thing I'm thankful for in John Cena. You know, honestly, well, I hate John Cena's gimmick and the fact that they market him like no other. I have to say his dedication to the business is rather refreshing.
Dedication to the business. Okay, that's a valid answer. Mace, if you were starting a tag team, who would your partner be?
I go with the Big Show.
Well, it's the Big Show.
Yeah, just for the simple fact, big guy, he can do most of the work, I can chill in the corner. That'd just make me Chris Jericho.
Yeah, that's kind of Chris Jericho's thought process.
There you go, okay.
Big well, he's one smart cookie.
Alrighty then. Will, who's your favorite Dudley?
There's a lot of fucking Dudleys.
And you can't say Big Dick.
Well, he could, but that would be an automatic clip.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no judgment call on that. That's an automatic
clip. I love that. No.
Nice way to catch yourself just in the nick of time.
Oh, don't worry. We already have a clip of Will doing that. So don't worry about that one.
Okay. I'm going to say Bubba.
Bubba. Why?
Just because of the way... when he was older Bubba matches, when just the way he would sell stuff, and he still does it now, he sells stuff in an almost comedic way, but it's almost refreshing because he only does it during like hardcore matches, and it's just funny to watch a man the size of a whale get hit with a cookie sheet, and then he just flips out and he's going, son of a...
Nice how you refrained from swearing on that one. Okay, so Bubba...
Actually, that's what he did in an ECW match between Dudley Boyz versus Spike and Balls Mahoney.
Oh, yeah. That's an old one. Holy God. All right, so Bubba Dudley. Omega, you get the last question tonight. If your life was captured on DVD, what would the title be?
Why the fuck are you buying this boring-ass shit? Not Plastic title. Addict?
That's a good title. I like that title. Much like System of a Down's Please Steal This Album, and please don't fucking buy this DVD.
Exactly. Unfortunately, my life is not the roller coaster that my YouTube videos would have you believe. This is quite dull. No one would buy it, and it'd just be a study of how much time can a man waste doing videos of toys.
Okay, there you go.
It's okay to pirate this.
Yes. It would be pirated like crazy.
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, there you go. Hey, everybody, that's Rapid Fire, which brings Wrestle Talk Radio to a close for this week. Jesus Christ, we're getting closer and closer to Christmas all the time.
Don't remind me, I haven't started shopping yet.
For Christmas. Oh, God.
That would be Omega with his hookup.
It is on my Christmas list. No. My hookup is getting me some. Just acquire something else for Christmas for me.
I refuse to go shopping.
There you go. Don't forget, everybody, TLC pay-per-view on next week. Russ Talk Radio take the airways right afterwards with a complete breakdown. Give it to you of the pay-per-view. We'll continue with a great debate. Plus, a bunch of other stuff. This Tuesday night, OWW Radio, followed by OTL. And then on Wednesday, Burning River Radio. Stay tuned for an announcement of a makeup date for Fire on Ice as the hockey game will be taking its place. Thursday night, we got, a couple of things. There's Running the Ropes, and of course, Anything Goes. Friday, we'll have Bang Cartoon Radio Hour returning, and then Mace with Target Practice right afterwards. And then, of course, Saturday, as close to midnight as possible, CB Radio. Make sure you check out all of the great programming right here on the WTR. And that being said, have yourselves a great week, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday after TLC. Take care.
buy the shirt.
Fuck Mav.
Random explosion.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.